welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HBR1, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum. On today's show, we have Brandon Makaava'ava. He's the Vice President of Nation of Hawaii. And we also have Limomi Bong. She's a full-stack developer over at Purple Maia. And they're both here to talk about the recent Purple Maia hackathon called Build for Aina. And I want to welcome you both to Bite Marks Cafe.
Aloha,
hey, aloha, Bert.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being able to join me on this show. And you know, of course, Brandon, I've had you on before, and I'm glad to get you to talk a little bit more about this hackathon that took place. And Limomi, I mean, you already have an audience because it turns out that you're not only working at Purple Maia, but you have a show here on Hawaii Public Radio, right, which is Bridging the Gap. That happens, what, every Tuesday?
Correct. Every Tuesday. I've been sitting in that spot for about 3 years, and it's a collectively hosted show. So it's, honestly, my creative outlet when it comes to my life.
Well, you know, that's great to know. And I don't typically, have other DJs on the show here, but it's great to have you. And as a full stack developer, I mean, I think you fit right in. Now, let me ask you, and maybe Limomi, you can kind of share with me a little bit about how did this particular hackathon come about? I mean, there's a kind of a broader program, right, that it sort of fits in. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about what's the genesis story about this Build for Aina hackathon?
So Purple Maia has been hosting hackathons for quite some time. Some of the hackathons fit within our programs, like the Purple Prize, but this particular hackathon came out of wanting to gather community, showcase ideas and solutions, and then lead into a more engineering-focused weekend. And so the hackathon was part of a larger impact challenge that we called Mauka to Makai.
Mm-hmm.
The first event was the Ideathon, which focused on Hawaiian design thinking and frameworks and bringing community together to ideate on solutions. And then the hackathon was Build for Aina. And the Build for Aina portion is where we partnered with the Nation of Hawaii, got to hang out with folks like Kaylee and Brendan, and invited a whole bunch of people up there to sort of like kuka around what sort of, solutions they were looking for in the journey of restoring that whole ahapua. And so, like I mentioned, we've been hosting hackathons for quite some time, but this one was really unique in that we had a community partner and really invited folks through an application process. We've never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
to join in.
And Brandon, has the Pu'uhonua, Waimanalo, Nation of Hawaii, have you guys been kind of involved with Purple Maia projects before?
Yeah, one of our second vice president and our minister of foreign affairs, John Keloa Garcia,
mm-hmm, right.
He actually went through the Purple Maia program, and I think he won one of the contests, the Purple Prize or one of those things. So,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he developed something called Exchange Avenue, which is a trade and barter app through that program. And so, yeah, we've been working with Purple Maia for a little while. A couple of our people that works in the nation also work at Purple Maia, and so we've always been kind of closely, working alongside Purple Maia to see how we can support them. But this is the first time I think we've actually kind of brought all of our minds together to actually work in our aina at Pu'uhonua Waimanalo. So it was really exciting to actually get to work with them this closely.
Yeah, and can you tell me a little bit about what was the, let's say, the goal of the hackathon? So Build for Aina, and there's like also called the Ahupua'a dashboard. And tell me a little bit about what you wanted to have people who participated. What is it that you wanted them to actually do? What is the challenge in front of them? And
well,
yeah, Brandon.
Well, I'll just say from my perspective, when it was like brought to us, it was kind of like, asking us how would we feel about, utilizing sensors to basically kilo on our aina. And kilo is the Hawaiian word for observe. And so back in our ancient kupuna's days, they could just look and look over their taro patch or look at their aina and see just through their eyes what was going on with the soil, what was going on with the water, because this information and this skill had been passed down for thousands of years. So it was already taught to us from when we were, kids and growing up, and this was our school. Well, when the illegal overthrow happened and the displacement of Hawaiians from lands, we really don't have those skills available anymore. And so now, the idea was to actually build these sensors to kind of like get back to understanding our aina from a very in-depth and scientific way. Like understanding what is going on with the soil, understanding what is going on with the water, so that we can make adjustments so that the yields in our lo'i and the things that we're growing, we can adjust that so that the yield is bigger and better. And so Purple Maya asked if we would like to, be, and take part in something like this and kind of actually test pilot this concept, because it had never been done before, with Hawaiians, with a community working this closely with technology and doing this whole thing. And so that was what was pitched to us, and we was like, of course we'd love to do that, because we that's our whole thing, is utilizing technology to advance our people. We're not shy about that, and Bert firsthand from helping us develop Hawaii's first community broadband network at the Pūʻohonua in 2019. The nation of Hawaii is very forward thinking, and we feel like, technology is something that is not just a Western thing. It's an indigenous thing. Technology, we've very, Hawaiians have always been at the forefront of technology, I believe.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And Lemomi, from a technology standpoint, from a Purple Maya standpoint, what did in Brandon talks about the sensors. Were there particular sensors or particular technologies that you wanted to bring to the table for people to, think about and perhaps utilize and put into the land or the water? I mean, what was the technology that was available to the participants?
Sure. So we were mainly working with Arduino sensors and measuring things like turbidity, environmental, capturing environmental metrics, whether it was rainfall, temperature. We were trying to accomplish two things with using Arduinos. One, we wanted it to be really affordable, and two, we wanted to do workshops teaching people how to build and store the data that comes from these projects. And so the hackathon became kind of like the hackathon had two outcomes, I suppose. We one wanted to have people in Aina healing the space and growing a relationship there and co-designing in that process when it came to the technology. We were partnered up with the folks over at the Kamoʻomoʻa Lab at Georgia Tech, and there, a lot of the research coming out of there is around community projects that embed sensors to help with things like the Manuman wild rice ecosystems. And growth and monitoring. And so we were kind of taking a cue from the way that they set up these community-informed design experiences almost and brought that over to build for Aina. We have a list of sensors that you can kind of see what we were playing with over the weekend. But I think coming out of the weekend, we've also discovered, there are a handful of other things that we'd love to explore and continue to monitor. Our main focus ended up being stream quality, and I think that's something a lot of people all the way from Mauna Loa all the way to Waimanalo can sort of like speak to in some personal way. And so, yeah, that's kind of where we landed on the sensor tech, and it expanded from there. But I think the sensors were just a great opportunity for people to touch grass, if you will, you know, walk around the lo'i, and kind of tap into that kilo mindset.
You know, I did want to find out a little bit about how, for the hackathon itself, was it pretty much focused around the Puhonua Waimanalo area, and how much of the Ahupua'a was sort of considered or covered? So what we'll do is we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Brandon Maka'ava'ava, Vice President of Nation of Hawaii, and Lemomi Bong, Full Stack Developer over at Purple Mai'a. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors PCAT, Pacific Center for Advanced Technology Training, and the Rice Partnership.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. I'm Bert Lum. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Brandon Maka'ava'ava, Vice President of the Nation of Hawaii, and Lemomi Bong, who is a full-stack developer at Purple Mai'a. And we're talking about the Build for Aina hackathon. And right before the break, thanks, Lemomi, for kind of outlining the use of sensors. And I think a lot of the people that were involved are pretty deeply involved in leveraging this technology to have a better sense of, you know, what is the conditions telling us, you know, how is it that the data is revealing to us as it gets collected. Now, Brandon, you know, from a hackathon standpoint, was the focus around the Puhonua Waimanalo area, and how much of, you know, let's say the Ahupua'a was part of, you know, people's ideation in terms of testing? And what I'm saying is that, you know, Puhonua Waimanalo is kind of up in the, right at the foothill of, you know, the Ko'olau Mountains, right? And then, but the Ahupua'a goes all the way down to the ocean. So
yeah,
how much of that Ahupua'a did you guys sort of think of putting sensors out to kind of gather up data?
I think, you know, in the beginning, we wanted to start and you know, in our lo'i terrace area, because we can control that. And you know, it's not a big deal for us to go in the back and monitor. And you know, especially for like pilot project, you know, that we can control this area. But we have begun talking with people downstream from us. So we had a good conversation with Colonel Beavers at, you know, who is the commander at Kaneohe Marine Base, but is also the commander at Bellows Marine Base. And so we talked to him about helping them with their situation, and we let them know about our sensors. We also spoke with several neighbors of ours along Waimanalo Stream, in between us and Bellows, to possibly deploy sensors within there, because you know, as Lemomi said, we kind of centered back on to understanding our stream flows and understanding what's going on with the water. Because when we first met with the colonel a few months ago, he was asking us to help him, you know, with some of the cleanup down at his area, because Waimanalo Stream is actually the stream that runs through our village and enters into the ocean in Bellows, and they were having some issues down there. And so we let him know that, you know, we'd love to help him kind of work on something like that. And just so happens, you know, a few months later, we do this hackathon. And so we reported back to him, and he was really excited about it.
Yeah, no, that's great. And so Lemomi, you know, the hackathon wasn't the typical hackathon where everybody comes up with a prototype and they, you know, they kind of pitch it to a bunch of judges. This was more of a collaborative effort, right? I mean, everybody sort of worked together to build, let's say, a sensor arrays that would reveal, you know, a better understanding of let's say, stream flow and various other conditions. What is it that you think, from a hackathon standpoint, what is it that can continue on? Is there an implementation that took place that you feel is a good sort of pilot? And what is it that the pilot can help you tell the story of? And then, you know, with that, you can then, you know, grow it, right? But what is it that initially is the thing that you want to capture data and tell the story of?
Great question. I think initially we went in super ambitious, right? We're reading about biocultural restoration of entire ahapaho systems and having that inform the challenge mm-hmm. of the Malkuthamakai challenge. And then we get into place, right, and we're speaking with folks like Brendan and Kaylee, and we're like, oh, wait, we need to really break this down. And within every part of the ahapaho system are the experts that we should go to. And so for me, while the technology still sits in a state of, like, the minimal viable product, it exists as a dashboard right now, pulling in some real data, but also some mock data and some frameworks around Kilo that we thought INA stewards would want to have access to. I think in terms of implementation, what we've seen happen is the conversations come up, like Brendan had mentioned, and I think that's really beautiful. People are getting hold of the hackathon, the Build for INA hackathon, and they're asking us, oh, can you install a TDS sensor at Guadalupe Stream and just give us a baseline for a year so that we can start to aggregate, you know, if pesticides are affecting downstream water quality. And so I think in terms of implementation, we're hoping to inspire co-design of technology with community, number one. And then we're hoping that the dashboard continues in this same way, where we can reach out to people who are, you know, in different, you know, parts of the state and who are maybe really focused in on one area, and we can try to connect them through something like a dashboard. We're also kind of drafting up what a pilot program would look like and expanding our sensor list to include, to carry on the research that might have stopped because, you know, a group at UH lost funding or, you know, a local IA is losing funding. And so they're unable to do the same sort of data, like robust data collection that they were doing. I would say the story we're really trying to is that data is Kilo and Kilo is data, and that we have to be in INA in order to do both. And they're not separate, really. It's a very Tanaka thing to use technology in order to tap into.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's
the insights we're gleaning.
It's a very hands-on thing. I mean, it's like, you have to have full kind of participatory involvement to really appreciate what it is that you're trying to achieve. Now, I do want to ask Brendan, you know, like, were there any lessons learned from some of the partners like Hohonu that were a part of this? And so we'll kind of hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Brendan Makaava'ava, Vice President of Nation of Hawaii, and Lemomi Bong, Full Stack Developer over at Purple Mai'a. This is Bite Marks Cafe. Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Brandon Makaava'ava, Vice President of Nation of Hawaii, and Lemomi Bong, full stack developer over at Purple Mai'a. And, you know, right before the break, you know, I think getting hands on, getting really into the aina and leveraging the technology is really where the sweet spot, in my opinion, is. And Brandon, you know, there were some, I guess, companies that have been sort of involved with this. Like I know Hohonu, Brian Glazer, has been doing a lot of sensor work over at the He'ia Fish Pond. Were there any benefits from his lessons learned there that could be applied, you know, at Puhonua Waimanalo?
Well, I'm sure there is. We're kind of not at that, you know, level of how they were at. But, you know, one of the biggest lessons I took away from this whole thing is having the data is the leverage that communities like ours needs to begin taking back Kuleana, to take back management of resources. Because, you know, right now we're in a moment of flux where a lot of these things are being defunded. And, you know, just because there isn't any money doesn't mean the Kuleana stops.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, having the ability to have this data on hand, we're able to have a follow-up meeting with the commander down at Bellows. And now he knows we're serious about it. And so now he got to go back and go do his work to help meet us halfway.
Mm-hmm.
And so already the data is working in our favor because he knows that we're serious about it. We went and we talked story a few months ago. He went his way, we went our way, and we came back with these sensors that could potentially help him understand more of what's going on downstream. So now, you know, like how Lemomi was talking about empowering the stewards of the aina with data is going to be so key moving into the forward. It's data sovereignty, essentially. And when you control your data sovereignty, you can now go and control, you know, the way development happens in your ahupua or the way, you know, things get laid out and planned out. You're not just shooting from the hip or you know, giving this impassioned testimony, which is all good.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have data backing up the reasoning as to why you're doing it, the chances of people hearing you is getting a little bit more serious. So that's what I've learned.
You know, I love the fact that, you know, you've leveraged this technology, you've leveraged the internet, you're now entering into this era of sensor gathering and data. And I think you folks could be a really good example of not only the collecting of data, but the analysis of data. And Lemomi, you know, from a Purple Mai'a standpoint, as a full stack developer, are you also kind of helping to develop the expertise in data analytics?
You know, the way the hackathon was set up was we created teams around different parts of the stack.
Mm-hmm.
And the hope was that people would sort of like find a place that they would feel comfortable and then want to awamo this part of the stack and be invited back to developing certain aspects like the data analytics, the data visualization.
Mm-hmm.
And so while we are kind of like setting up sketches for the Arduinos and ingesting data and working with the stewards to kind of figure out how often they need data, and how often you go out to collect data, there is a bit of protocol and there is a bit of like maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
But I think along with that analysis and sort of training people, so like creating documentation around what it is we're recording and what implications of, you know, increased salinity might mean, we're also, to Brandon's point, trying to create data governance documentation and share that out as well. So there's this interesting kind of like tech/social cultural component to everything that's happening. And we do have a really strong back-end team. Raul Goodness is kind of like leading on that end. And then we have people in community who have reached out, and they're willing to provide us server space so that we can store data locally, and are willing to think through infrastructure for a project like this and how it might scale. So there's a bit of training. We definitely have a team of interns who are excited to hop into a lot of different aspects of the data,
mm-hmm.
And are hoping to push it forward, you know, by the end of this summer.
So, Brandon, you know, like in terms of the ongoing sort of development of this, let's call it a prototype from the hackathon. So, is it ongoing? Is it in place? Are you collecting data from the sensors now? And then, what would you identify as the next sort of phase that you want to start to deploy?
We don't have sensors in the INA yet. They're still being tested, developed, and built, but it will be soon, in like maybe a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then I guess the next phase would just be to begin interfacing with the dashboard that was created through the hackathon, and seeing how we work with the chatbot that was also created. So they also created an AI chatbot that would kind of just help us analyze the data, because, you know, this is all brand new to us. And so I think, you know, having this AI chatbot, you know, and working with the dashboard is going to be the next step. Like Lim only said, there's going to be an education process. And, you know, the best way that Hawaiians learn something is to actually work with it, you know. And so I think that we're going to be doing some learning in the next few months, just understanding what everything is going. And then, you know, once we gather that information, then we want to go out and help other communities possibly, you know, set these things up. You know, sort of like how we did with the broadband network.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't know anything about broadband before 2019. And,
mm-hmm.
and when we did it ourselves, you know, we felt comfortable and empowered that we went out and tried to help other communities develop their network. And I see it as the same thing.
Oh, yeah. And then we'll definitely continue doing that. And then, you know, so Brandon, if somebody wanted to learn more about, you know, like Nation of Hawaii or Puhonua Waimanalo and the dashboard, I mean, where can they go check out? Because I definitely want to check out this dashboard.
Yeah, I mean, you can follow me on Hawaiian National on my Instagram.
Okay.
At Hawaiian National. But you can also go to our website, nationofhawaii.org, where we'll be updating a lot of these things that we're working on.
Well, very good, very good. I'll put that up on our show notes for later on. Brandon Maka'ava'ava is the Vice President of Nation of Hawaii, and Lemomi Bong is the Full Stack Developer over at Purple Maya. I want to thank you both for joining me today.
Thanks for having
Mahalo.
Us, Brent.
Mahalo.
Thank you. And of course, thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about the Hawaii Women in Tech. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HPR One every Friday or anytime via the HPR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.